Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida. I'm joined today by John Levine.
Yeah, no, it's soon to be not joined by John Levine.
That's right. John's leaving us. He's flying the coop. He's heading to Atlanta.
I am.
And he's going to learn how to moonwalk. And yeah, he's going to be...
Is moonwalking big in Atlanta? Do I need
that's
to...
That's right. I don't know. It's just one of those dance moves, I guess.
Okay.
A white guy can get away with doing.
Huh.
If you're hanging around, you know,
right,
a bunch of brothers, you know, you could do the moonwalk. They get a little cred. You know, get a little street cred.
Right. So here's what you're saying. When I go to Atlanta, I see a bunch of African Americans hanging out. I should walk up to them and do the moonwalk,
right,
so that I get cred.
That's right. That's how you get...
Get like, street cred.
Exactly. They could be like, yo, man, he's one of us. Anyway, sorry, Talia couldn't be here. She was going to be here, especially since this is could be your last show for a little while until we figure out, you know, if we're going to do any type of
remote. This is my last in studio show. Let's say
right.
That. I think I'll be back. You know, I'll definitely be back on the show.
Yeah,
if you want me. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, of course I do.
Put words in your mouth, but
well, you do often anyway.
I usually wait till later in the show.
Yeah, you usually wait till the second segment. We get into the political, but you know, like Talia, you know, because you know we have really two shows. Yeah, we actually the show here. We've gone from doing three a week in a network. We've gone from that to doing two to possibly three shows a week.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the third show is either because if I have guests that are here from Tavolino's, we kind of make it, hey, there's a comic sit-in, and we all just...
Right.
Which last week, if you didn't hear it, it was a great show with me, Matt Fernandez, and Eric Da Silva.
Nice.
Had a lot of feedback on that show, a lot of fun. There's three comics. Just going, you know, just going over everything. It was
well,
a lot
two
of fun.
Comics and you, but you know,
yeah, whatever. And listen, don't get smug. Don't get smug.
Don't get smug.
Yeah.
Right? Like I'm not already smug.
Yeah.
You should say don't get more smug.
Don't become more smug.
Yeah.
Don't be smuggier.
Smudgeness is not
don't
a good
be
quality.
Smudgeness. Yeah. Don't exhibit smudgeness.
Yeah.
Smugness.
Yeah.
Any rate, so John's going to be going to Atlanta, and
yep.
He's going to probably start sleeping with black women. And he's going to not...
What do you mean start sleeping with...
Okay, yeah,
you're
right.
Sleeping with more
often.
Right.
He's going to get more smugging.
I'm going to get right.
Yeah, in that sense. And it's exciting. You know, you packed up a lot of shit. I saw on Facebook, you know...
It's brutal.
Right.
I'm going to, you know, I've got a 3-bedroom house now.
Right.
And it's just me. So, like, you know, I've got a guest bedroom and an office and then my bedroom. And I'm going to a 1-bedroom in Atlanta because I don't want to spend a bunch of money on rent.
Now, have you picked it out yet? Or you?
So I'm flying to Atlanta tomorrow.
Right.
Well, I guess today because this is being broadcast on Tuesday. But so
right.
I'm in Atlanta right now. No. And I've got appointments set up to go see. I've got like 7 or 8 places that I'm going to go see and come out of Atlanta with an apartment lease.
Right.
So that I have a place to move because I have to be out of my house by September 30th.
That's right.
Which is less than two weeks away.
That's
10 days away.
Yeah, all condensed in one. You're all excited and you realize, like, all this shit to do.
Oh, I am like...
Now, are people getting a lot of your stuff because you're giving away a lot of things?
Trying to give away a lot of it. I put some stuff up for sale, so a couple people bought some stuff. You know, and I'm just... the money's not really a concern. I'd rather people use it. I don't want to throw stuff out. I hate to throw
right.
out stuff that's good.
Right.
You know, so I'm trying to give away as much as possible, trying to sell as much as possible.
Like somebody can get a really good deal on a table for like $8. It's probably a $50 table, but hey, give me $10 for it.
Yeah, I mean, like I sold my entertainment center, I think, for like $50. I mean, it was probably, when I bought it, it was like a $400 entertainment center. You know
right.
what I mean? But now I've had it for a number of years, so it wasn't brand new. But,
right.
you know, I'm not looking to make a killing on this. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
but it's not like an entertainment center is like a pair of shoes. It's not getting a whole lot of wear and tear. It's just there.
Yeah, correct. It's just there.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it may be at a touch or, you know, timely, yeah. Who knows? But, you know, what comic or what, you know, local or friend of yours would say, hey, wouldn't right. I, $50, this can really spruce up my little shithole.
Yeah, no, like we were discussing before we started the show about our buddy who I just sold a microphone to. Like,
right.
I had this mic that I was using for a long time, and then when I just got my own podcast, I upgraded my setup, and that mic was just sitting on a shelf. Now,
sure.
It was a $140 mic, and I said, all right, I'll sell you for half price. Just because.
Did he try to bargain you down?
No, not at all. He was just like, that's great.
That's good. Yeah. Well, Chris got money.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's like I said to you, it's easier to transport the $75 in my pocket than it is to carry something else to Atlanta in a box.
Oh, yeah. I like that idea. I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
I would definitely I would just say, you know what? New start, fresh.
Yeah. Like, I'm not taking my dishes. I'm not taking my glassware. You know,
yeah. That's going to be a pain in the ass when you got to buy it, though.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Like, when I moved from New York in 2004, so 12 years ago, I bought this set of dishes at, like, Bed Bath & Beyond. It was like an 8-piece set.
Right.
You know what I mean? In a box.
Okay, these are the ones you use. And these are the ones it's like you got a china cabinet. Yeah,
correct. So I'm thinking, you know what? I've gotten 12 years out of these dishes.
Right.
They don't owe me anything. I'll go buy myself a new set when I get there.
Yeah, and you could get dishware for like $50.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need an expensive set. And sitting there wrapping each piece in newspaper,
that's a little tedious.
Such a pain in the ass.
It's funner to just throw them off a hotel window, out a hotel window.
Yeah, well, that's what I should do. I'll rent a hotel for that.
Have a big Greek party.
Perfect.
Go to Holiday Inn. Say, we're having a Greek party at the house where I leave.
And the guy's like, I'll get the anal lube.
Not that kind of party. Calm down there, Bill. Anyway, so that's fun, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm very much looking forward to it. You know, it's a new adventure. And it's a new comedy scene for me to get.
You came here. You used all of us here in South Florida. You sponged off us.
That's right. Exactly.
And then
you got as much as I could. Now I'm ditching
and
you.
And that's it. Now, you know what? I'm going to move to another area.
Like every other woman in my life, I used you and I left you.
That's right. Right. Well, I was. Yeah, they left me only because I couldn't break up with them. You remember?
Oh, right.
If any chick ever broke up with me, it's because I really didn't want to pull the trigger on her.
So basically, if you took that same strategy and if you wanted to move away, you would just make everyone here hate you until they told you to get out.
That's right.
Right.
Start pissing everybody off. Just be a dickhead
to
everybody.
What do you mean start? More so.
Well, just because some open mic pricks are pissed that they're not funny and they think they're funnier than me.
Right.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So it should be good stuff. So.
All right. Well, I had an interesting day because it's Monday here in the studio, and I've had a busy day. I had to work, right, and I had to go to the dentist this morning. Had another cleaning. Hmm. I got to tell you, I love the cleanings.
Yeah, there.
And you know what?
You get them more than every 6 months?
No, but they want you to do it every 4 months. You know, but I'm like, look,
since when?
Listen, I know that's just extra money.
Yeah,
they want to do that. But, you know, and if they had me, it's. They had one of these like gentle dental places where you don't get insurance, you just get the club.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's cheaper. It's actually better because dental insurance sucks.
I have dental insurance.
If you got a really good plan and you work for it through a company, you can get it pretty. But basically, if you're getting dental insurance on your own, it's terrible. You know, a root canal, you're still going to pay. You know, we don't cover that. We don't cover crowns. They usually give you like, okay, you get a cleaning every 6 months, and you're paying like $90 a month anyway for this insurance.
No. I pay $12 a month for my dental insurance through Humana.
Through Humana.
Yeah.
And what do you get?
I get a cleaning every 6 months.
Right.
I get x-rays.
Right.
I get, there's a whole list, obviously, of benefits that I get.
Now, is this a group plan through work or is it individual?
No, I buy my own plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because ours was terrible. But that's just you. So me and my wife, we had that. And if I needed a crown, it cost like $1,000. You know what I mean? Even with insurance,
it's still kind of stuff costs
an arm and a leg.
It's cheaper than what it would be if you didn't have insurance, but it's still not cheap.
Yeah, because the club, it's at like they want to give me a crown. It's like $800. A crown costs anywhere between $1,200 to $1,000 to $1,500. And even with insurance, sometimes with insurance, it's still $800-$900. You're like, well, I'm paying $80 a month or $50 a month between my wife and I to get this. That's, you know, that's $600-$700. It's almost like $1,000 a year. I'd rather pay $250 for this stupid club, right? And then only pay like $800 to get the damn thing done anyway.
Yeah, but if you're paying $250 for the club and you break that down per month, what are you paying per month?
I know, but then that's my point. It's like, but
you
don't know,
you're paying the same amount. You know, if you take it and you go 250 divided by 12.
I'm going to check my insurance, but I know the dental insurance sucks. Anyway, so but I got the cleaning and that feels good, and it's kind of like there was a guy sitting next to me, and it's like separated like a little area, like a wall in between.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy, I guess he's having a bad time. He doesn't really floss, and I'm here to tell you that I floss so much that when I leave a hotel after a couple days. You could take all that floss and like string an entire like string quartet.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I use a lot of floss like 3 or 4 times a day. because I got these.
That was an interesting analogy.
I got, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like I'd use.
I was thinking maybe like you could make a rope out of it and like rappel off the building.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know,
you could string a violin.
Hang yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not like, you know, I got a lot to live forward to. I'm not, I got a good career. I'm not moving to Atlanta.
I wasn't saying you.
Okay. You meant like
just in general.
I got you. All right. Well, you know what I'm saying?
And thank you for bragging. I mean, like that, like I have no career. That's why I moved to Atlanta.
Well, yeah, you get a lot of, that's great. It's a great move for the TV stuff and film and everything, right?
Cause
that's
where it's all.
And comedy. It's a great scene in comedy in Tampa and over in Atlanta. You know, but so I use a lot of floss. That's so like it's good, but I got 93 crowns. I need 4 fucking crowns. I got like a tooth down here that's kind of cracked, and I got to fix it. And I know because I'm starting to feel the pain when I drink cold water, and you can see the X-ray. It's like there's a hairline. It's like a crack. All right, then the one up here, it's losing color. It had a root canal. It's starting to turn dark, and then it becomes brittle. Okay, you got to probably get a crown on that one.
Yeah,
and then the one next to it, you probably got to do too because it needs one. You know, so that's like $1,000.
Yeah,
$900 a piece. I'm like, and the lady sits there like, okay, you want me to schedule to do this?
I know,
like,
they always do that.
I'm like, no, I don't want you to schedule to do it. I need to come up with the money.
Yeah.
You know, I got to go out, and I'm going to have to get my wife to sell her, you know, sell herself online, and I'm going to I'm gonna have to do it through tricks myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just to raise the money.
Like, I'll give you like, what are you looking for, like $50 for the wife?
Yeah, well, hold on. She's going to come here.
I only need about 8 minutes, and that includes me getting undressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what bothers me the most about dentists, because that like happened to me last time I was at, you know, getting a cleaning, like, oh, well, you know, you need this and we've got to replace, you know, you've got a, you know, old filling that needs to be drilled out and replaced. But, you know, there's all this kind of stuff. And the woman's like, she goes, it's like $989 or something like that. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to schedule that. That's like a little, you know, too expensive.
Right.
And she's like, well, hold on. And then she like leaves the room and then she comes back and she's like, okay, the dentist said he can do it for like $638. I'm like, oh, so he just lopped off 30%.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Nice
like, so which means he's now only making 90% profit instead of 100. You know what I mean? So I was just like, this is all bullshit. Like this is all complete. If you just took off $300 by walking out of the room and coming back in, it's bullshit.
Yeah. What if I wait another week?
Right.
And I always do that. I was looking, I'm like, look, that'd be nice. Like you want to schedule? Like, yeah, I'd love to schedule, but I don't have $4,000.
Yeah,
but that's what they did. It's like $1,100 for the crown, and then with this.
But the other thing is negotiate with them. Just be like, you know what? I'll give you $350.
Yeah, just say, you know what? I'll do them. I'll schedule them right now.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to call them
if
next
you do
week.
It for $450.
If you guys can do it, if you guys can schedule, I'll do 2 at a time. If you can give them to me both for the $1,000,
it's the same reason why, like when you go to the doctor, you can, you know, for like a procedure or like a, you know, some type of test, you can be like, well, what's the cash? What's not the insurance price? What's the cash price?
Right?
Because they have a different cash price if you're paying for it for yourself.
Sure.
Because
they don't have to wait for the accounts receivable. The insurance can take 6 months.
And these prices are made up.
Right.
I mean, they're completely arbitrary.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got an MRI machine. Now you paid for that MRI machine, but it's like it's there. It's, you know, you're not going, okay, well, we got to get, 5,000 people through this at X amount per person. You know, everybody that goes through that is paying a different amount.
Insurance companies are all fucked up.
It's all fucked. It's all made up. It's all made up.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, I think it'll cost this much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you should. You should negotiate it. And sometimes they'll tell you no. And then you said, all right. And then they always love it when, you know what? Because what I'm going to do if they say no, this is all we can do. I'm going to say, okay, we're actually, you know what? And then when they go to schedule the next cleaning, say, no, I'm changing stuff. I'm going to be changing. What? Oh, yeah. You know what? I just, you know, this is a discount dentist, but I don't feel really discounted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm going to go through another plan. I'm looking through another plan right now. Well, you know what? Listen, if you do my crowns for $1,000, both of them, I'll do it. I'll schedule both.
Right.
And then I'll do the next one in 6 months. Yeah, you know, it's crazy that you just can't say, look, we'll just charge you this much. $300-$400 to do a fucking crown.
Yeah. Now, look, there's parts. Okay, just like with a car, you know, and the crown costs money, and then
right.
you know that there, you know, the tools. Okay, so there is a hard cost in there,
and I love
but,
it. When,
but the rest of it is the dentist's time,
time and labor.
Yeah,
I love it when they say, I love when, you know, when they sit there and they'll like, well, you know, we have a finance plan. I'm like, look, I got credit. Okay, it's not like I don't, you know, I got a line of credit.
Right, you could do it, right?
I could do it. I could put it on my card. I got a card that I'm paying.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get your 15% interest card.
Yeah.
You know, and sign up. I'll get a whole new inquiry done and get my credit. And I'm just going to put it on one of my cards, which I don't want to put money on because I don't, you know, because then if I put it on, I still got to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
You think if I put it on credit, all of a sudden it's gone.
Right.
Like, oh, installment payments. No, I don't want to be making payments on a fucking crown.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you do? I'm making a car payment on my Beamer. What are you making a car? Oh, I'm making a payment on a timeshare. What about you? On my teeth.
Right.
You know, I got a few crowns I'm funding
it's
right
kinda,
now.
It's kind of hard to chew on.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's hard to chew on when you're paying for dental work. You know, it's ridiculous.
You're walking around showing people, hey, check it out. Look what I got.
Exactly. And just for the call out, shout out, you know, speaking of deadbeats, Yeah, you know, I'm okay. Just people not paying their fucking bills. No, because it hit me, and it just reminded me now because I'm thinking about bills.
Yeah.
You know the situation. I'm paying my nephew's student loan bill.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned it.
Stuck because I co-signed it because my brother's a complete, he's got like a 200 Beacon score, and his wife, they got horrible credit. They never pay anybody back. And, you know, so I co-signed a student loan so this kid can go to college.
Yeah.
This is the only thing against my wife. She says, what are you, crazy? These people already owe you, cost your family thousands. It's my nephew. What am I going to do? So I do it, and guess what? A year later, he falls out of school, and I end up paying the fucking student loan. So I reached out to them. They always call me, oh, your family. Listen, I don't want to hear about shit. You know, no one ever helps me when I need help.
Right.
So, okay, so I reached out because this month was real tough. I said, hey, would you guys mind paying the $160 fucking student loan for me? I hear nothing, no response, nothing. You know, and then when he sent me a message on, hey, you know, something's happening with your brother. Listen, why don't you care? Why don't you respond? Now I need $160 to pay the bill this month, just one bill after this $15,000 debt, and get nothing, no response.
Hmm.
So I basically letting them know you're all gone. I have no brothers anymore. I have no siblings. I'm just letting you know, I'm an only child right now. That's it.
You're letting me know, or just people?
Letting everybody know. Okay, that's it. So if you want to adopt me as a sibling,
is it like a private bank loan, or is it like a government loan?
It used to be a Sally Mae loan, which now another Navion or one of these other companies took it over, or whatever.
Yeah, no, because you can go get forbearance on it,
right?
You know what I mean? Which is basically, I'm sure there's like an online account, you know what I mean?
But
they have like economic hardship forbearance, they have deferment, you know, that kind of stuff, where it's like, hey, I'll start paying this again next year. They don't care because the juice is running on it. So they're still charging you interest. So they'll let you just kind of.
I know. What I want to know saying, is, I mean, that's I keep getting calls about these student loan forgivenesses, meaning they'll write it off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to let me do that with my income.
Probably
they're going to look at my income and go, yeah, this guy's not, he can't pay $160 a month.
Probably not. Yeah, but those things are, I mean, I don't know which particular, one you're talking about, but a lot of the talk about the loan forgiveness, when it comes to student loan, is the fact that what students are actually getting for their money is not worth it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you took out $100,000 worth of loans to go to college, and you come out of college and that degree is not worth the money that you paid for it. So that's why they're talking about this crushing student debt and how much it's costing to go to college, and are you actually getting out of it what you're paying for?
Well, and listen, and it has a lot to do with some people go to college and do nothing in college.
Well,
I
get it, but like, they talk about like apprenticeships and things of that nature, like in Germany and stuff. That's the apprentice programs there are huge. I mean, that's the majority of how their skilled workers get their skills.
Right.
Not going to college, it's
trades.
It's
trades. Trade school.
Right. And it's, apprenticeships that are, and it's, you're investing money into it.
Don't you think that would be helpful now, like in our country? Because that's what in Europe, because you would leave. Like, you'd basically go through the equivalent of middle school, right? And then you'd probably go to like a year of high school, and then you would either pick like college, like you're going to really go on to.
Or trade school.
Where you would learn, I want to be a carpenter.
There was just something, I think it was on NPR, they were doing a story about like this whole concept, and they were interviewing like these electricians and like companies that construction and plumbers and that kind of shit. And they were talking about how they are so starved for people,
right?
That to have this skill, they don't have it. Nobody is going into these professions anymore. Nobody is learning these types of trades. That this, and I think it was an electrical company. They said we have like a list of jobs that we have to do, and we don't have the teams to cover it. So every week we just put all the jobs into a hat and pick out the four that we can do.
Right.
I mean, that's how they decide what gets done, because they just don't have.
That's a big thing. They talk about employment in this economy and then jobs overseas and stuff like that. And I'm like, the reason why jobs go overseas is because it's an ample workforce.
Yeah.
And, we have unemployed people that are unskilled.
That's the thing.
I could tell you for a while back when we tried to hire an office assistant, just somebody who could answer the phones, do paperwork kind of stuff, I mean, we had a woman one time says, I worked in an office for years and years. And when she picked up the phone, she had no skill. Like, she couldn't, who the fuck is answering the phone? She's like, shit, hello, this is so-and-so, may we help? Nothing. And no skills like that. So it's amazing that how people just don't have the everyday skills.
Right. Needed.
And needed. Like, and you talk about trade schools. Like, my father was a mechanic. I can't change a spark plug. I don't know any of that stuff. But I said to myself, I made that choice when I was getting educated. I'm like, no, I'm going to college. I want to get a job where I don't have to bust my ass. I want to try to use my head. You know what I mean? I want to use my, you know.
And so, I mean, so much emphasis in the last 30 years has been placed on going to college and that.
Some people are just not college students.
Well, I mean, there's that, but there's also the fact that, you know, it was sort of sold as like the only way to get ahead in this country is to go to college.
Right.
You know, which is not true. I mean, you know,
even if everybody went to college that reached college bearing years, there would still be people that are unemployed, because all that would mean is the quality, let's say the quality of the brain pool is up there. And it's like anything. Well, some people are going to get work and other people are just going to be at the bottom end of the curve.
But there's such a wide spectrum of important jobs in this country that, you know, all this emphasis was placed on, you know, the office jobs and the information, you know, technology sector. And those are important. I'm not saying that they're not. But, you know, toilets still need to be fixed. Houses still need to be plumbed. You know, electricians are still in high demand. I mean, it's, you know, and those things are out there.
Yeah, a lot of people, everybody, listen,
I'm not going to hire an electrician, but it's not cheap.
No, it's not. And that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of professions that some people, most the millennials or a lot of our next generation or this new society here. Oh, that's not, I'm not going to be that guy.
Right.
I'm not going to be a person that wears that suit. Meanwhile, they're making 90 grand a year, you know, or whatever, in some sort of profession. They have their own practice. Not only that, you know, it's like when my stepdaughter, when she graduated high school, she went to beauty school. She learned to do nails and stuff. And she was like, I don't know if I want to. I go, look, here's the thing about something like this. Learn the trade. Go through it. Do it.
Have the skill.
Whether you do it as whether you do it as part of what you do for a living, ultimately, probably not. But the fact is, you have something you obtained. You've gotten that as a skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like even when I was getting my black belt, you know, people were like, I don't know. I said, listen, I'm doing this because, one, I always wanted to do it. I want to accomplish it or this and that. But I'm also doing it because once I do it, I could teach. I could, you know.
Right.
It's just something you have.
You have more opportunity.
That's what it is. Anytime you do something, you spend time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like my worthless sister-in-law, the family I was just talking about, she would give advice to our family. Like, oh, you know, somebody. I said, shut the fuck. Like, who the hell wants to hear you? You never worked. You didn't go to school. You don't have any area of expertise. Why are you giving advice? There's nothing you could do. Like if all of a sudden, if somebody wanted advice on how to make a paper airplane, you know, maybe then you could, you know, how to shuffle a deck of cards. Mm. These are areas you'd probably be useful.
She's good with paper, obviously.
Yeah, that, you know, smoking cigarettes.
Ah.
You know, making coffee.
Again, paper.
Exactly. Paper, coffee. She can make coffee.
It's a filter. There's a paper filter
in
there.
I mean, she can never be a barista at
Starbucks,
you know, because then it's a lot more complicated than taking some Nescafe, whatever it is, instant coffee and put it in some hot water.
Nescafe.
Yeah. You know.
God, I haven't had Nescafe in like 100 years.
It's not that bad, too, when you haven't had it. You're like, wow, this is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, in a pinch.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. In a pinch.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's the issue. A lot of everybody, I'm not going to do that job. I want something special. What can you do? I don't know. They can't do anything. You know what I mean? Like if my profession... Like, I think about this because there's a lot of people, let's say in the financial industry, whether you're an accountant, if you're an accountant or somebody works at H&R Block or something like that, you got to realize that there's a lot of people using TurboTax. There's a growing trend of people doing things on their own
because
there's a level of simplicity that not everybody needs an accountant.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you have a business and this and that and other forms of blah, it's probably worth a few hundred bucks a year to get somebody to do your taxes for you. But, you know, there's a lot of accountants that know that. They're like, hey, they're getting squeezed. As an industry, the only thing that's good about that is not a lot of people want to be accountants. You know, I did when I was in college, when I was my freshman year. I'm like, I'm going to be an accountant. And then after taking some accounting courses, I'm like, I'm not going to be an accountant. I mean, I was good at it, but I don't want to.
Yeah, it'll drive you nuts.
It's the worst job in the world, sitting, you know, pushing a pencil.
Right.
So, you know, then I want to be a psychologist, and I studied, you know, when you keep changing. But, you know,
other things did you want to be?
That was it. I was going to be an accountant. Then I was studying. I started enjoying philosophy or psychology courses and sociology courses and stuff. Started getting to that, and that's when I was still at Flagler, and they had a pretty good school for that.
Yeah.
And then when I went to Nova. At Nova University, I started taking the law classes and the philosophy courses, and I really gravitated to that. And I said, I'm going to be a lawyer. So I took as many of those courses in philosophy and logic and blah, 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 and all these things. And then, of course, I'm ready to graduate college. I was supposed to got accepted at NYU Law, got a place at Georgetown even, University of Miami, got accepted. Dad got sick, couldn't work. I think I'm going to be a financial planner.
Okay.
And listen, in every job, like even at this point, my business, you know, you have Betterman, you have these like robotic type financial planners, plug in the number and you get this stupid, you know, and then you follow it, John, you know, that is an area that, you know, is eventually going to overtake, not overtake our business, but definitely make it less clients out there, less of an area that you can make money in. Or,
yeah,
you know,
but
I mean?
I would argue, and I think this goes with the accounting too, and a lot of other sort of areas, you know. So the clients that are using the TurboTax and the clients that are using the Betterment, those are the lower level clients, and you don't necessarily hunt out those
right.
clients. I mean, you'd have to have a shit ton of them to make a living.
Oh, absolutely.
Just and they're pains in the ass, yeah. as always, because they're, you know, usually the smaller the client.
And that's not going to hurt a guy like me who's been in the business this long.
But that's my point. So the segment of that client pool that those things are reaching, you know, because you're not, you know, the guy who's using Betterment, you know, all of a sudden he wins the lottery, he's not using Betterment anymore.
Right.
He's now going, okay, yeah, now yeah. I need somebody, and now I need an upgrade.
It's hard to diversify your $10 million with a few ETFs.
Correct.
You got to worry about estate tax rules and advanced
all that
planning.
Kind of shit. Right. So to me, you know, yes, are those types of things taking clients away from
right.
me? They are, but they're not. That's the lower 20%
yeah.
that you're not chasing anyway.
Yeah, and you're right. And I think, like, you know, I had one of these people, I unfriended somebody on Facebook. I keep getting these things about join this bit. It's why Prime America, you know, these people. Prime America is basically, it used to be A.L. Williams, which is like a multi-level investment.
Yeah.
Sell mutual funds and life
like
insurance.
Amway.
Yeah, and exactly. It's a multi-level marketing thing where you mm-hmm. get people enrolled, and the commissions on the mutual funds are at the highest level that you can do. And because, you know, and that people, one guy says, well, you know, I work for Prime America. I said, dude, I've been a financial planner for 28 years.
Right.
I'm not going to go work for Prime America. What's wrong with it? Like,
where do you sit down?
Listen, I don't have enough time. You know,
yeah.
And you know, and I tell people, it's like the majority, 88% of the sales force are part-time financial planners.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people that were basically people that were construction workers, librarians, teachers, that someone said, hey, you can make extra money on your spare time.
Right.
Go to people, get 100 people, talk to them and find out what their life insurance is, get them to cancel it, buy term and invest the difference. That was their big thing. And you know what? I'm like, that's great. But then but these are part-time financial planners. You know, you're not going to go to a part-time doctor. You know, you got a
sure.
part-time, you know, account, you know.
Yeah.
You really want to take your taxes to somebody who's a carny during the day. You know, and like me, I mean, I look at it, you know, I'm not a part-time guy. I spend every day doing my financial planning, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I put that on Facebook yesterday, one of my push-up challenges. I said, look, I get up in the morning, before I go to bed at night, I see what China
is. Was
that
the one with Bob Levy?
Yeah. No, that was pretty funny. See
I didn't
Bob,
say it. I didn't say it, but.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw that you did it, but I didn't have time to read. Like,
yeah, I was running late a little bit. In my last couple, I was real busy, and I ended up went over the midnight time, so I did, you know. But I'm sticking to it. I'm day 12 actually, as we air today, on the PT. It's almost like a bad chain letter. You know, some people are getting
like
mad.
You get stuck in it.
Yeah, like somebody says, oh, you want to do this? You want to bring attention to post-traumatic
right.
stress disorder and the fact that, you know, hundreds, if not veterans, are committing suicide
sure.
every year
yeah.
because of dealing with this. You know, so you want to bring some attention to it. But it's like the minute every time I nominate somebody, they email me like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Like, now
do you see how when I just declined it, like it worked out
yeah,
very well
you didn't
for me?
Even, yeah. So far, nobody. Only Bob Levy's done some push-ups for one day. And that was it. Nobody
See,
else has joined.
But you're absolutely right about that, because like with the ice bucket challenge, ALS, okay, it was a one-time thing. You're going to do it. You put it on video. You know, it's boom. It takes you
right.
5 minutes to fill up the thing, dump the bucket on your
right.
head and videotape it. This is like, how many days is this? 19 days?
It's 22 days. And, and by the way, I will say this, though.
22 days, it's a month.
But you know what? You're right. Almost a month. And I will say this is like, I could tell like the difference now. Like I have now gradually gone to my knuckle push-ups. Like I could do regular push-ups. I do the knuckle push-ups. They're a little harder.
That's why they look less hairy today.
Yeah, no, I did man grooming.
You waxed them?
I did some man. No, I don't. I use the trimmer. I did some man grooming because the wife asked for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they were dragging on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I'm like, I'm all hairy and I'm itchy and you know. So you know.
Oh yeah, look, your arms are all
look at that.
Not,
I'm telling
yeah.
you, I my body yeah, temperature goes down like 3 degrees.
I would think so. You're
yeah,
not wearing a
that,
sweater anymore.
Exactly. I'm like, I lay down on the floor. I'm like, my body doesn't actually touch the floor. I'm so hairy. Anyway,
she's skipping you across the tile floor like on an air hockey table.
Yeah, it's getting embarrassing because there's certain parts I can't see anymore. Like you know, I used to be able to like, oh, I can do that, and I need
yeah.
help.
Now you need a selfie stick.
Yeah, exactly. I need a selfie stick for my trimmer.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with John Levine.
With my selfie stick.
With his selfie stick, and we're going to go shave our balls. And we'll come back with some top stories, some things that have happened. You know, this Corey Feldman, I don't know if you saw that video.
I didn't see it yet.
It's just,
maybe I'll watch it in
this
break.
This fucking poor kid. And now, you know, now he's crying because everybody doesn't think he's an asshole. He's like, you know, somebody, you're an artist. If people don't like what you just did, fuck them. You don't care. But he's like, oh, we tried our, anyway, we'll talk about that.
All
and,
right.
And of course, we had some terrorist attacks, homegrown terror attacks that we'll talk about. And that a little more, we come back after this.
Hey, this is John Levine, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, where I'm not always right, but Dougie is always wrong.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's for you guys, the listeners, it's Tuesday morning here.
Yeah.
Or Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
We just basically put the show out on Tuesday at some point.
And I could be at this point on a plane with cocaine because I'm going flying to Atlanta today.
That's so. Right.
Yeah.
Cocaine you can fly with.
I try not to fly with anything that's could maybe get me arrested.
I would never take that chance.
I have, stupidly.
I've known people like Lenny. Lenny used to say how he used to take duct tape and tape weed to his balls. Underneath his balls.
Well, look, Lenny's balls smell so bad anyway, there's no way
no one's going to search
him. Yeah.
It's like, you look. Go ahead. Go through.
I won't touch my own balls.
Listen, I won't even scratch my own balls. Any rate, so, man. It's it's that kind of day we're having here. And what else I guess? Oh, by the way, I'm pretty excited. I talked about trying to get on as a color commentary guy with soccer and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that'd be, can you imagine, it'd be like one of those rock star moments. Oh, yeah, we're going to put you on the, no,
sure.
It's not going to happen. So, I don't know if it's this Wednesday or next, but I'm going to be on ESPN Radio's, the football show. I'm going to be visiting.
790? That one?
I don't know.
One down here?
I don't know what it is. It's on ESPN Radio.
So yeah, 790, the ticket is the local ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's that, with Paul Schoen and some guys there. So they've asked me, I don't know if it's this week. And then he said, anytime between 7:30 and 8:45 in the morning.
Or is he going to, like, call in?
No, they want me to come to
the studio. Oh,
you're going
to come to the studio.
Oh, cool. Visit, like, 10, do, you know, be a
is
guest.
Is it in Miramar?
That's the thing. I'm like, I don't know where it is. I'm like, yeah, I don't mind doing it anytime. I'll show up around 7:40, in the morning, 8,
Yeah.
And where it's at. And, by the way, I was this week I'm scheduled to be at Vasani's in Port Charlotte, Florida, a comedy zone with Frankie Paul from Thursday through Saturday. Looking forward to that. And our friend Cisco is actually going to be performing at Vasani's with, of course, Carlos Mencia. Tonight, Tuesday and Wednesday, and Cisco says, "I'm going to be in Florida, man." I said, "I'm actually going to be in that club Thursday through Saturday, the nights after you guys are gone." He goes, "Well, why don't you come by on Tuesday and Wednesday? You do spots." I'm like, "Well, that'd be cool, but I don't want to leave my wife,
right?
You know what I mean,
for a whole week, or
exactly." And not to mention, I got shit to do.
Yeah,
but I could probably come by Wednesday. So Wednesday night, I'll be at the Sonny's doing a spot on their show.
Nice,
and I'll be able to see Cisco and hang out.
Oh, because there's no Tevolinos this week.
Right.
Right.
And see, there's a couple guys like, I thought you just canceled me because you're trying to fuck with me. I'm like, no. One of the daughters is getting married.
Ah.
There's a big wedding up in North Carolina, I think. So the place is closed. So we didn't cancel you because you're an asshole.
Right.
We just had to cancel the date. So, yeah.
So don't be an asshole.
Don't be. Yeah, exactly. Stop being an asshole. You know what I mean? Hey, speaking of being an asshole, I just wanted to rub it in somebody's face. But don't forget, Deuce's Wild Comedy Show. This Friday night, our first show.
Sweet.
Deuces Wild Comedy Show at the Nectar Lounge, located in Seminole Casino, Coconut Creek. 8 and 9:45, no cover.
Nice.
Perry Sachs, your host. Will Rock the House Lewis is your feature performer. And your headliner, Steve Marshall.
Sweet.
It's going to be a great show, no cover. I went out there the night to make sure everything's cool. It's good, great sound guy. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're excited about that our new show there.
That's great.
And, of course, you're going to be doing your last Tavolino show.
Yeah, that's going to be my last public performance in Florida.
In September 28th.
That's right, week from tomorrow, week from Wednesday.
And you're going to be the only guy on the show because...
Oh, it's Sheba Mason and...
Sheba Mason and Amy Dingler.
Amy Dingler.
I think Sheba's great, and Amy's very funny.
I've never met Amy, but I've worked with Sheba, and she's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a great show. $10 for that show in Coral Springs at Tavolino's on September 28th.
Actually, I've been promoting a lot because, people want to come out and see me one more time before I... skedaddle. Way, so it's going to be pretty.
You're having a goodbye party where I'm not going to be here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
be, saw that. Yeah,
I'm going away because I'm going to Chicago next week. I'm going to Chicago on Tuesday.
Hmm.
I'm going to be at the Whip Theater. Headlining on Tuesday night. Our friend Matt Ballack is going to be hosting.
I was just going to say, I saw you working with Matt.
And that's Larry Fulford cool. from Orlando. I brought them. These guys recently moved to Chicago from Florida. And I said, okay, let's, you know, I got the bookings.
Let's put it together, yeah.
Let's you guys get some, awesome. You know, some shows up there.
It's good. Matt's a funny dude.
Yeah. So that's at the Whip Theater on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Go to Whip Theater and there's tickets.
Yeah, I saw that you couldn't make it to the going away.
Cause, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It was really the only night that I could do it, you know what I mean? Because, like, I'm going to Atlanta, and then, you know, and then I'm back, and then we've got the closing, and, you know, I'm staying at my dad's for a couple of days. It's going to be nuts.
I'm just glad you're going to have a place in Atlanta, because I'm going to be probably crashing on the couch.
Yeah, man, that's cool. Anytime.
That's good to have a person that you know in
absolutely.
Town.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, hey. Hey, all right, let's talk about some of the top stories. Over the weekend, we had some attacks, you know, and some people didn't want to, you know, I guess there was a thing where Hillary, I guess, I'll be honest, I didn't read much about it because I don't want to hear it to me. I guess Trump had mentioned there was a bomb, or I guess he was a little more colorful in his expression of what happened.
Well, he came out instantly before anybody knew anything and called it terrorism. And said, you know, we got to get tough on these people. But as someone who's a president, you can't just do that.
You don't want to be quick to react, but it turns out it was pretty obvious. I mean, you know, it's funny that when somebody says there was a bomb, a pressure cooker bomb in a dumpster, we don't think it's a terrorist act.
No. But that
was de Blasio, by the way.
But the point is that before de Blasio even spoke, because I was watching it that night, like live, before de Blasio even spoke, Trump came out and said stuff. Yeah. So the mayor of New York didn't even have a press conference yet. And Trump, it was like, and if you remember, do you remember when that Egyptian airliner went down?
Right.
And you know, they were like, oh, the smoke, you know, the smoke sensors and things. And Trump came out and he's like, this is an act of terrorism. You know, and then it turns out it wasn't, and it was a mechanical failure.
You never want to react quickly, but either way.
If he wants to be the president of the United States, I mean, you can't just off the cuff say stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah, we don't know, and everybody keeps saying we don't know yet, but most people are saying we know it's fucking terrorism, which is true. Now, what you're basically saying, you could be a dumbass sitting on the couch, you go, the fucking terrorist act, and if you're wrong, you're still a dumbass.
Correct.
But if you're
the president,
I get it.
You got to be a little more careful.
But at the same time, you got to realize, fucking the thing blowing up in a thing, you know, a bomb, as they explained
it. Very possible that it's terrorism, they were saying on the news, it could be a property dispute. It could be a jilted lover. It could be, I mean, there's 8 million.
It could be a unicorn butt-fucking a fucking troll.
I mean, but let's be realistic about it. I mean, you know, look, car bombs happen. The mafia used car bombs for years. So
I haven't heard of a car bombing from a mafia guy in a long time.
Well,
so
that's why
somebody would say, hey, I think it's a mafia car bombing.
Again, just coming out and saying what you think it is before there's any evidence.
I heard an explosion. I think the Hindenburg just blew up again. You know, it was a terrorist act. And it was interesting, too, because I guess in Minnesota at a mall, they had the one guy, right?
Yeah,
stabbed some people. Imagine if some guy comes up to you and says, are you Muslim? Yeah, motherfucker, I'm Moroccan. You know what I mean? Right. What are you going to say? No, fuck you. Get stabbed. The guy, like, he's a polite, you know, he's like a polite terrorist. He's like, are you Muslim? He's giving you a chance.
Yeah.
I didn't read
all the details on that. I know that was reported that he was saying stuff like that. I didn't read the exact details on that. I mean, I know what happened, but I don't.
Listen,
he was part of the Somali community up there.
Yeah,
in
Somali,
St. Paul, because
there's
a big Somali community up there.
Yeah, and listen, there's people that are here that live here that have been living here, not necessarily refugees that are coming in. These are just people that are believing the ideology of this terrorist group, right? And how far-fetched is that when you already have other Americans not standing for the flag and all other kinds of lack of patriotism in this country?
Yeah,
so
that's a different.
I'm just telling you, there's a level there that, you know, how can somebody who lived in this country all of a sudden want to blow things up and all this kind of shit? Then you're like, well, no, it can't be that far-fetched because you got people that are not standing up because of a certain belief. And again, I want to cover this because I put a tweet out there. I go, my thing is I stand for the national anthem, not because I think we're perfect as a country, but as far as we've come and all the things that we are capable of, you know, like the fact that we can protest about this, the fact that we can walk down the streets and these things happen, I think it was J.B. Ball, you know, his black comic was here. He's like, understanding of racism or, you know, racial indifference in this country has gotten a much better, you know, more, you know, intermixed couples, you know, it's gotten a lot better. It's not perfect, like, in any means. But the fact, you know, I celebrate the fact that we're in a country that we can make these changes. you know, there's a lot worse racism in a lot of other countries around the world than here. So I'm going to celebrate the fact that we can make changes and we still got more to do, but we are in a country that can get it done. You know what I mean? The fact that we don't stand.
But that's right. But that's your choice to do that in the right. same way it's somebody's choice
so
to not
why,
stand.
That's why I'm telling. But I'm just saying, that's why I'm saying. I'm like, instead of, and this is, it's almost like our society is like a spoiled teenager where the father says, okay, we'll let you go out till midnight, even though we'll let you stay out till midnight. We trust you. Let's do this. We don't want to put too much discipline and tell you how to do things, right? Free, big rope, let a long chain. Go out there.
We get the analogy. Go
yeah, ahead. You know, point? so do that. Now after the 2 weeks after the daughter gets to stay out till midnight, now she wants to borrow the car. You know, now she's asking if the boyfriend can sleep over. It's almost like this country is like, we want more and more and more, and we just want keeping more and more and more. We're never happy with anything.
But hold on, our whole society is based on that. Capitalism is based on that. But
the difference with capitalism, you got to go out and get it. You don't expect people to change their views about you, and that's the things about some of these things.
But
you
these people are trying to make a change.
Do you think? I know, but hold on a second. Do you think that the whole world? I mean, this country, you think everybody in this country, for example, like, let's talk about, like, I'm just coming up with different things. Okay, like the Confederate flag, right? It's a symbol some people say it's a symbol of racism. Other people say, look, it was the South. There was a lot of things about the South that they believed in and this and that. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean, to me, that there's a lot of people that fly the flag that don't believe it as a racist thing. Just believe it as a pride thing that they had. They shared it, whatever. So that's good. Let them believe it. But now they've been asked to eat shit because they're basically said, hey, this is the way this flag is considered. Okay, I understand. But let's do this. And then you got the religious community in this country, which is there's a lot more people that believe in God and stuff than don't. That are saying okay, we'll accept gay marriage. Okay, good, that's fine. They're taking all these things and okay, let's do this. You know, even some people say we got to remove the Ten Commandments from this and that and blah blah. Okay, so a lot of these people on one side of it, not the people that are requesting all this. You know, hey, I want to be. You know, I want everybody to agree with gay marriage. Okay, fine. Again, and this
no,
kind
no,
of thing.
Hold on, before you go on. So you got to No one's asking everyone to agree with gay marriage. That's not what anybody's asking. All they're asking, all they're saying is you just can't discriminate
right.
against people.
That's
all they're saying.
But no, but what they're saying is they're also saying that if you feel a certain way about it, you shouldn't feel that way about it.
No.
That's
no one's telling anybody how to feel. All they're saying is that if you
don't discriminate against me because I get married. I get it.
Correct.
That's the way it is. But at the same time, when people speak out.
And removing the Ten Commandments is about the separation of church and state.
Yeah.
Is that the Ten Commandments is a religious symbol and it does not belong in a federal courthouse.
Well, it does because the Ten Commandments are the basis of our laws. You know, these common laws that are out there.
So you think if the Ten Commandments didn't exist, we would think that killing people was okay?
No, I think that I'm not going to take a hypothetical of history. I'm saying that it's well known that there's a lot of people that believe in the Ten Commandments and God, and that has been an area that has drawn us to get to laws and other man-made laws.
That's fine, but we have in
so
this.
So you can't
we have
say
that's
not part of the Constitution. The basis of our legal system is based on those laws. Of religious laws and the components of the majority of religious laws. So that's part of law. That's what we studied. The legislature was written based on law of religions at first. It was a background. It was a blueprint in a sense of our laws. So you can't say that, you know, it's not, they are separate because a law is basically based on religions. But in our country,
we specifically wrote into the Constitution
that
it shouldn't be that way.
We did that. But at the same time, that means...
Well, that doesn't mean that... Okay, but the bottom line is, whatever it means, it's fine, and wherever it came from, that's fine. But our founding fathers specifically said these two things are separate.
They keep separate, and they have their own importance and entity.
That's fine,
right?
You know, but they're separate,
right?
So you can't. So even if the basis of the original laws that were written are based in were modeled on religious law, it doesn't matter. Those two things need to remain separate. They specifically said that, and so the Ten Commandments does not belong in a courtroom at all. Mm. That's against the law, and that's why they wrote it in there.
Well, that's where I'm. That's where I think that's why there's a gray area because law exists because of religious law. There's a lot of things are based on that. That's why the Ten Commandments are there. These are the real first laws that humans were supposed to follow.
But do you think the founding fathers didn't know this?
Yeah, but my point is that The founding fathers also said, Jefferson said, that we must always be revolting and changing, even what's written. It everything's got to always change. Sometimes what's written here could be adapted into new times, right? And that's something you always got to look at one way or the other. So I'm just saying to you that I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm not going to argue whether or not the Ten Commandments should be put in there. I'm just saying that the fact that they're being removed, the fact that there's not a lot of given.
They should be removed.
No, that's your opinion. I'm not talking about it. I'm not going to get on one side or the other. John, I'm not going to get into
it's
a fucking.
It's illegal.
No, I'm not going to.
This is not an opinion based.
No, it is. There is a bit of an opinion because there's a basis building that has to do with law, that's a symbol.
Should the Bible be taught in school?
No. That should be separate.
But why is that different? I mean, a lot of the original teachings came from religion.
The Ten Commandments is not the Bible. The Ten Commandments is the Ten Commandments. It's the laws and the rules that a lot of this country's laws, man-made laws, were based on.
The Ten Commandments is in the Bible.
All I'm saying to you, John, is I'm not expecting you to change your fucking mind about it. Don't get into
that. There's nothing to change.
But
you're saying that like this is a matter of opinion, and it's not. It's a matter of law.
No, it's not. There's a matter of law is always interpreted. So a law,
and it's been interpreted and decided.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Based on that interpretation,
now, you might not agree with that interpretation.
Just like any jury, that's not the point. It's not based on the ruling on that. There's a right and wrong because one decision was made. But whether somebody feels, my point is, even though that decision was made, that's my point, that there are going to be people that feel strong of faith that
and
feel
they can
offended
feel that way all the time.
That's right. And that, but my point to you is that as a society,
but to say they shouldn't be removed, that's wrong.
No. I'm not saying. I'm saying that the fact that they were removed, it's upsetting a certain part of the
tough shit.
Well, that's how you feel. But this is my point. Hold on a second, John. Let me finish my point.
But if you don't like the fact that you can't rob a bank,
don't bring up a ridiculous. That's obviously you don't harm other people by having something having the Ten Commandments sitting there in a government building. No one's dying or being harmed or being taken.
Absolutely,
from,
someone like me who does not believe in that at all.
That's your fucking problem. Because you're a heathen, you're going to go to hell. Doesn't matter.
My money is paying for that.
No. Well, listen. Again, I'm not going to get into it. The point is that you're missing again. You want to get into the right or wrong.
No.
So I'm saying you that there's a group of people
that are offended by that.
That's fine. Deeply tough offended. Shit. Well, see, that's
move out of the country.
So then, listen,
if you don't like that. Move out of the country.
So then the same thing. If for some reason gay marriage is not being voted, or it doesn't, like in North Carolina with the bathroom rules and whatever's going on, if somebody says that's tough shit, you don't like it. Tough shit. That's not a way to be understanding between your own people. You can't say to somebody, "Hey, tough shit, you don't like it." That's the way it is.
If that's the law, that's exactly what you're saying.
But then that's the way it should. When the law wasn't that way, what you're saying is the people should have told gay people, "Tough shit, you can't get fucking married." That's fair too. That's the law.
Well, that's what they were telling them.
Well. That's, but
that's
listen,
exactly what
but,
they were telling
listen,
them.
But there's a big difference between you take gay population of what 4 to 5% of the country's population versus people that are religious and believe in God.
So
80-99%.
It's a matter of how big the population is.
95% of the population of the earth believe in God or some sort of higher being.
So we should be able to discriminate people if they don't have enough group.
What I'm saying to you is that again, you're missing the point because you want to go into a pedestal where you're right or into your soapbox.
No, I'm just.
What I'm saying to you is that my point why the country is getting more and more divided is because as more and more things are being given and sent, understanding and taken, there's a certain group of the people that are, like you said, fuck it, you have to deal with it. And what's going to happen is that eventually those people are going to get disgruntled, and that kind of feeling is going to come off in another way. It's going to be projected into another way of anger that they're upset that they're losing something. So this is the give and take that this country is going through.
They are angry that they're
that's
losing something,
saying.
And that's
so,
why those are the people that are voting for Trump, because they want the old way.
The way they see.
They want to make America great again.
Yeah.
They want to go back to the way it was.
Yeah. They want to be able to say certain things if, in fact, they feel the need to say that. If in their life it is a truth. If it is in their life, it's something they've experienced. They don't want to have to cut and then give away all this stuff. And listen, again, whatever it is, that's part of our citizens. Those are our citizens, and these are the things they want and beliefs. And that's why we have an election. Let's see what happens. But my point is that if everybody keeps asking for more and more change, and it's almost like a selfish aspect, like, okay, let's be thankful for things we are getting done, and that's the whole problem with this, even with the political system, Republican, Democratic. They all want to take. No one's going to fucking bend for anybody on this, on both parties. No one's going to. There's
but
not going to be
used,
any.
But they used to.
But
they used to work
I know
together
that, but
to
I'm saying,
solve,
but
to solve the problems.
That's where we're at now, and you can't blame anybody but each party. You can't say one party's guilty of that.
No,
they're
I'm
both.
I'm not.
So that's what I'm saying. So this is the issue, that nobody is bending, and that everybody's pissed because more and more shit's being taken, and that's why. It's almost like, you know, it's like hungry hippos. Everybody's reaching out for the last grains of fucking, you know, salt and beans, and they want to get what they want, and that's it. No one gives a fuck anymore about the other person's feelings. So this is where we're at in life. And this is why, you know, this is why you have where we started. You have people that have been living in this country, and now because they see all the shit that's happening in the world, they get all upset about it because they don't have anything else to live for, and they're going to start blowing up fucking bombs in the middle of a street. Because they don't give a fuck anymore. So yeah, it's not that far-fetched.
You could argue that those people would have glommed onto anything that would have, you know, made them prove their point or whatever the hell they
eventually
think.
But the more and more protests, the more and more of this, the more and more everybody, I'm not happy with this, I'm not happy with that. And, you know, I had somebody on the soccer side because I mentioned the gay woman soccer player that won't stand. Again, good, don't stand, who gives a shit? But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's kind of selfish. I think for the homosexual community, I think a lot has been done. I think if you look at it, there's been a lot of understandings, but a lot of work that's been done for that. There's a lot of advancements that have been going. Again, not perfect, not everything, but at the same time, you know, if I was gay, I'd be thinking, God, you know, we've come a long way in the last 10 or 15, 20 years. You know, it's not perfect, and that's just the way it is. You can't expect it.
You know the old saying about, like, how a joke is never finished? You heard that? Like, you constantly rewrite stuff because it gets funnier. You think, you know, you figure out a way to do it better, or it's like that. It's like, you know, I don't think anyone as a comedian or a good comedian sits down and just says, you know what, my material is, that's it, and it's great, and I'm done with it.
But my point is
constantly evolving. You're constantly making it better.
My point is that, under your analogy, as a comic, I would not get pissed and start kicking and punching the wall because the joke didn't hit after I just tried to change it. I wouldn't start screaming out and get mad at myself as a writer. Or mad at the audience for not laughing at this new joke because I'm trying hard and all this kind of shit. And that's almost.
But you wouldn't be disappointed if a joke you wrote didn't work.
My point is, with your analogy and as it goes with the situation, is that if working through
it would affect you.
No, but if it didn't work at the first few times I've done it and stuff, I would be on more understanding and this, you know, work and continue. But I would if every joke I hit didn't work. Yeah, I would not get mad and just all. And that's what I almost feel. That's that's what I'm saying. That is the
But you would keep working at it.
Of course. That's a divide that this country is seeing, is that there are people out there that are going, look, we've had so many things just overwhelm this. We've gone through so many things overwhelmingly change in this country. Give the average person time to take it in. Give the average person a little more time before you start asking for more and more and more. Yeah. And that, to me, that's just, it's like anything. It's like in life. I don't go to my boss and I don't go, hey, can I have Tuesday off? And then go back next Wednesday. Hey, can I come in late Tuesday, Thursday? Hey, can I, you know, after a while, like, hey,
No, you're right. But what you would do is you would come in and be like, hey, can I get Tuesday off? And then I need to come in late on Thursday. You would do it all at once. Because for that exact reason of you wouldn't, because at that point it's like, hey, I'm already doing it. Let me kind of get it all out of the way and do it, and it's done. As opposed to going in and Tuesday, hey, I'm not coming in on Tuesday, and then coming back 3 days later and be like,
well, that's the way it seems when you look at life and society. But the point is,
even if the two things are the same, taking off Tuesday and coming late on Thursday, when they're presented together, are much different than when they're presented separately.
Yeah, but that's my point, is they're not presenting it together.
You're saying it's already happened. No. Give people a breather. What I'm saying to you is, no, let's get all this change done. Let's get it all out of the way.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that you can't. That's the bad move.
That's your opinion.
It's one person to one person. It's one thing to make a decision, but to make a society and a group of people understanding and be and accept things, it takes a little more time.
But it's clear by the way these things are being accepted and the way these things are going is that the country is accepting these changes.
Has accepted, yet there's still time. It's still not there. There's still fresh wounds of people that are trying to take it in. And everybody.
The
more you push somebody, the more resentful they're going to get to
change. But if you believe, like, you know, if you do polling, it's like 75% of the country believes that gay people should be married. Okay, so there's a 25% of that country, of this country, that's pissed off.
Is that a real number, though?
No, I'm just saying. But there is
under your hypothetical situation. Based on the way you angled it, you'd be right about whatever point you're making. No, based on those numbers,
this is not about a right thing. What I'm saying to you is, it's about the fact that there's always going to be people who are there's never 100% decision. There's always going to be casualties to a decision that's made, always, because there's some people that don't want that change to happen. So we can't, as a society, go, well, it's got to be 100% or it can be nothing. We have to go with what the majority of the country wants.
Bit by bit, and that's my point.
Except, and that's what we're doing.
Be happy with the bit by bit. Stop complaining. We want more.
But
more,
these
and
are bit
more.
By bit.
I think it's been a little.
It didn't go from gays couldn't get married to, like, everything happened at once.
You don't think that, you know, when one group get something and see something that the other group says, hey, let's strike now because everybody knows a good time to do it. This is why
the Occupy Wall Street, and all this shit's happening. The old saying of like never waste a good crisis. Right. I mean, it's the
truth. And that's what that's part of the issue, too, is that's my point. We are human. We're not alien. So it's going to happen. So it's understood. Right. But that's what I'm saying. But that is a natural progression of things. That's why there are issues. That's why there's more and more confrontation and sense of it and more people speaking out because it's like, hey, calm the fuck down. You know, but again, getting back to the standing up thing, that's why the people, like to me, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Anybody sits down, stands up, whatever. I don't give a shit. That's not me. I'll do what I do and I'm going to choose how I do it.
Right.
And that's what I'm just saying. To me, it's just a little, to me, it's like, look, let's, you know, again, with everything going on in the world that, you know, where we really, you know, we really need to be united as a country. We really need to be strong and be, you know, and try to work things out so we do get good. If this country united and somehow saw to and started working together, you think we'd have the fucking candidates we have? You think we'd have the people running for office that want to take control of this fucking shit box? I mean, that's the point, you know. So that's everything. We the people are causing this. We get mad at both these candidates being.
But this country's always been this way. We're the United States of America. We're all different states. We're all different peoples. Mm-hmm. We're all, you know. So look, you were talking about the Confederate flag. Our fucking country split in half over a goddamn issue.
Right.
So I mean, like, you know, I mean, this is not a new concept. You know what I mean? It's not this is not, you know, there's been shitty presidential candidates before.
Right.
You know, so I don't disagree with you. You know, like, yes, I wish we had better people that we had to choose from, of course. But, you know, to think that this is some like unique period of time.
Well,
it's
no
not.
One said it was unique. I'm no, just saying know, at this point in time, we're at that point in time where it's
whatever,
getting to the
whatever,
point.
Whatever point in time people, we're at, this is the point
people
time
should be
we're
happy
at,
with
you know?
What they got. That's my point. The suspect was caught in New York, by the way.
Yeah, he was
guy.
Shot.
Yeah, he shot. Ahmad Khan Rahami, named the person, and. You know, he's got the beard and everything. He's got the look, right?
If you're going to be a terrorist, you got to look like one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't want to be walking around with a propeller hat.
No.
You know, and like clown makeup. You want to, you know, you want to look right. like that guy.
Because there's a guy acting suspicious.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
He's been directly linked to the devices used in New York, New Jersey explosions and Saturday. It's amazing how they catch these people. Yeah, like you know what I mean?
Well, there's a good chance that this moron had his fingerprints were on it. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I mean? We're not talking about a criminal mastermind here.
He put the gloves on while he was making the bomb, but he forgot to put them on when he placed it.
Well, right. Something something stupid like that. I mean, you always hear these stories about people who's like left their wallet during a bank robbery. It's like, yeah. I mean, like,
that's the one good thing about these guys that are saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to do something and really fuck up this country. Well, good. There go MacGyver. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's why you can kind of tell that this wasn't a...
You would hope it'd blow up. You would want more of that, like my Iraqi suicide bomber joke.
You want him to blow
up. You want them to accidentally like fuck up. Oop, wrong
right.
wire.
Well, there was three pipe bombs in New Jersey at that 5K race, and only one of them exploded. There was the device in Chelsea that did explode. Then there was the second device that was found on 27 that didn't explode. And then they found five more pressure cooker type things in Elizabeth, New Jersey that didn't explode.
Did you also hear, by the way, did you also hear that they arrested three Muslim guys, Islamic guys in Miami? Uh-uh. They found him getting on a rooftop with assault rifles.
Oh no, that was the balcony.
Balcony.
No, that was first of all, there was only one Muslim guy. I don't even know if he was Muslim.
There
was three guys. One of them had a Middle Eastern sounding name,
right?
And he was the guy that was busted for cocaine possession,
right?
Because these idiots were like on their balcony in Miami with an AR-15, just fucking around with it. So people were, you know, they called the cops.
Them in, yeah,
right. So they had like strippers in there, and they had like cocaine, and they were just being.
Well, just like the guys who flew into the towers. They were going to strip clubs and partying and doing drugs all the time.
I didn't mean like that. But I mean,
they could have been preliminary just getting ready for their big hit. Who knows?
Now, did you see the pictures of these guys? They were bros. I mean, they were like frat boys.
Listen, that doesn't make a difference. But we don't know yet, right? We don't know. I mean, what happened? Did they get released?
I don't know. Only one of them was arrested for cocaine possession.
Well, there you go. Anyway, hey, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with John Levine.
You are.
And we'll be back with a couple more stories and straight from the headlines right after this.
This is Talia Brahms with the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, giving you your daily dose of feminine energy and making sure these guys don't kill each other.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we make fun of stuff from around the world and news that we make fun of from around the world.
Smooth intro right there, Dougie.
Whatever.
Just well, so straight sad. From the headlines when we news the read and make some fun of the news thing.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just all depressed because John's leaving.
Yeah.
John's going to Atlanta.
Is that why you're crying?
That's why I'm crying.
Yeah.
I'm crying because I'm Corey
Feldman.
I'm Corey Feldman, and people are mean to me. I just tried my hardest.
I did watch that video during the break.
The break, right? Oh, man. Is that a piece of shit? The guy looks like he's rolling. He's dancing. Now, I remember, I can't remember, it was like one of those reality shows where he was on there with Vince Neil. Was on the show. I don't know if it wasn't Rehab. It was one of those.
Yeah, like
it was one
like
of those
B-list celebrity shows.
Yeah, like shows. And he was on there, and he got married. Corey Feldman got married on the show, and he was dressed like a cobbler, and he's a fucking loon, this poor kid. But, you know, and he wanted to sing. He wanted to sing, and he wanted Vince Neil to back him up on the song that he wrote for his new wife.
Yeah.
And you could see that, yeah, obviously, you know, when somebody knows how to sing, you know, like I'm a good singer. I got like a couple octaves, you know, I can keep my, but with somebody who's a really trained, like a professional singer, when I'm next to them, you know, except for certain, but for the most part, their range is unbelievable. They can, think it's loud. It's like, and then this guy's like, and then Vince Neil goes like, you know, you can hear it. And I'm like,
right.
That's a fucking singer.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And you would never go out and do that, you know.
Well, he does.
But he does, because he's a fucking idiot, this kid.
Well.
You know, now, obviously, everybody knows he was, you know,
The Goonies.
The Goonies.
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys, which was a great movie.
Yeah.
Of course, he was like this 80s actor kid.
Yeah.
And the two Coreys, the other guy's dead, because he was like a poor fuck. Corey Haim. He died, whatever. But they supposedly got molested by the movie guys back in the 80s. You know, there's a lot of controversy in Hollywood that a lot of these guys, you know, they fucked the boys. You know, they liked the little boys, and they were molested by these big, you know, executives, you know, movie executives. Mm. They did it. They sucked cock. Well, look, they were famous. So
they were the found boys.
Right. They were found. They were found in the room blowing another guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So supposedly that came up, whatever. But this guy, now, if you haven't seen, you've seen the video. It is the biggest piece of shit of a song that you'd ever heard in your
life.
It's
pretty bad.
And he goes on there and is talking about it. Like, oh, yeah, it's about heaven and hell, and I love angels, and I save people. No, you know, right, whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, to me, when you watch it, doesn't it seem like the first song you've ever written? Like when
it's very sophomoric. It is.
When I was a big Kiss fan, I wrote a song. I tried to send it to Gene Simmons. It was called The Wizard of Love.
Hmm.
I'm the wizard of love. They say I come from heaven or from somewhere above. All right, there's a fucking lyric that I wrote when I was like 9 or 8. And that it's a little better than Corey's lyrics.
Yeah,
you know? It's come on. It's, I mean, it's better, I know, right?
Let me see you dance while you dance.
Listen. And this guy, it's funny because he says, yeah, I used to dance with Michael at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing Michael dance moves.
But he used to slow dance with Michael, and Michael would lead.
Yeah, exactly. And they were laying down at the time.
Right.
But, you know, there's one part when he's dancing, he throws something on the ground, and like he's putting out he looks like he's putting out a cigarette. Like, I call it the putting out the cigarette move. He throws it down and starts, like, sticking his foot.
He was channeling Sandy from Grease at the end when she throws the cigarette down in John Travolta's face and stomps it out. Yeah, it was, you know, look, as an artist, and I use that term very loosely, I can appreciate when people try things, you know what
right.
I mean? But when you try something and
it fails,
well, my thing is like this wasn't the first performance of this. This wasn't the first time somebody heard it or somebody saw what he was going to do. Who said
somebody was too scared to tell him this?
That's
sucks.
Great. Put it on the Today Show. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, who's the one who got it?
It's like when I see these like really ridiculously bad TV commercials.
Right.
I'm like, what?
Who signed off?
Right, like what meeting? They were sitting there going, you know what? That's a great fucking idea.
Corey Feldman sobs while speaking out against Today Show reaction. Quote, we are petrified to even go out of our house. Good, stay in there and don't do another fucking song.
Who's we?
I guess his band. Corey Feldman has not been able to get out of his bed after his performance of his new song, Go For It, on the Today Show last Friday.
I need you to just go for it.
In a since-deleted Facebook live post, Feldman and one of his Corey's angels, Courtney Ann, addressed their critics after making headlines for a curious appearance on the morning talk show.
Corey couldn't even have a third threesome that morning because he was so upset.
He was so upset.
Yeah.
on the show, the 80s teen heartthrob, performed a song from his fifth album. No one knows the first four.
the lost tapes.
The Lost Boy tapes.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear this shit. Can you imagine having six albums between them all? They sold like five copies. His fifth album, Angel Decor. That's a cool name. Angel, let's call it Angel Decor.
Decor? Like
to core. Angel to the core. Oh, I'm sorry. Angel to the core.
Oh, Angel to the core.
Okay. Yeah. Like, it's not angel. Like, if you're right. An angel, you're going to be, if you're going to be labeled an angel or, designated right. An angel, that's a pretty stringent, criteria to be called an angel. But to say I'm angel to the core, that's like over, it's a little over much. A little too
I don't know.
Much.
Sometimes you do something nice for somebody and you're like, God, you're an angel. You know what I mean? Because you did that nice thing. But like in reality, it's like, well, I banged like three tranny hookers over the weekend while snorting cocaine. I'm not really angel to the core.
I'm not to
the core, I'm not angel.
I mean, at the moment, I'm being a bit nice, but I'm just really trying to.
Right. I'm just trying to get some more money for the cocaine for the tranny hookers. Right.
Yeah. I got it. It's all of good balance.
Right.
On the show, the 80s teen heartthrob performed the show, a good versus evil type song, Heaven versus Hell. The former Stand By Me and Lost Boys star donned an all-black hooded ensemble and gave a now viral performance. Yeah, he looked a little bit like Yoda or like he was in Star Wars, and then he had like a Michael Jackson button type shirt, and
he's been dressing like Michael Jackson since the 80s.
Yeah, he's terrible. I mean, he has the fucking fluffy shirts. He's,
yeah,
Feldman's performance drew comments on social media as well as in the press, becoming a Facebook trending topic for most of Saturday. As the video went on, Feldman started to sob.
So did the audience.
All we can say is that we tried really hard. That's what he said. Because we love our fans. All eight of you.
I was just going to say, it was the fan. Look, I spoke to my fan, and he said it was great.
Yeah. the members of the Corey Feldman fan club, all six of them, they couldn't even put a kickball team together. These things that are said about us are awful. Ann has certainly Googled the performance and said he saw all of the negative comments about Feldman. Quote, like, you Google Corey Feldman today performance? Like, every media is like, Ann started to say before Feldman finished her statement with, like, oh, it's so bizarre and he's so weird and so odd. He is. He's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, I mean, what is he expecting? People to be like, oh, my God, that was so normal.
That was incredible.
That was incredibly normal.
He listened to the song. He's like, it sounds cool. It sounds, listen to it. It's like edgy. It sounds so, look at badass. It's heaven and hell. Ooh.
Did he write the song? I assume he did.
Hey, you imagine he would have blamed somebody by now. He's the kind of guy that said, look, I didn't even write the song. Why are you getting mad at me?
That's true.
For now, Feldman said he has a lot of fear about going out in public again. Good. Stay in your room, you fuck.
No. He might make more music if he does that.
Yeah, that's right. Go out there and get away from your Apple.
Go get a job bagging groceries or something. Just give yourself something to do.
Yeah, cut your hair and look normal. He was really down. Does anybody give a shit? Fuck him.
Well, we are talking about it.
Well, good. Here's another story. Former NFL player claims he was at his best after smoking marijuana. Now, I can tell you that I've smoked when I played soccer.
Okay.
Once in a while, I may have, earlier kind of, I wouldn't.
Spit it out. What are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying that I don't know if it's not like I'd say I'm going to get high to go play.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I was a goalkeeper, so I was like, I'm running around. If this guy's a lineman.
The ball would like shoot by you, hit the back of the net, and then you would dive to the right. I missed it.
It's kind of like do what you think. But says former NFL player says he played his best when on marijuana. He goes, you know that kid in high school who says he does everything better when he's stoned? Even if the only thing he does better while high is eat a bag of Doritos? Well,
was that Ebden part of the article? Was that your?
That's their article. Yeah. Ebden Brighton just might have been that kid. The former Jaguars and Bears offensive lineman told the New York Post that he not only smoked marijuana before games during his six-year NFL career, he might have been even better while baked. The NFL games I played stoned were some of the best games I ever played. Well, that's what he thought, at least. That was the best.
Do you remember that old anti-drug campaign? It was a radio ad, and it was like, here's the paper you thought you wrote while you were smoking marijuana. Right. It was like, President Johnson was born in the... and then it's like, but here's the paper you actually wrote. Man, President Johnson, he was awesome.
Yeah, I thought I had the best sex when I was stoned. I have to ask the girls to find out if that was true.
I was just going
to
say.
After being selected by Jacksonville in the second round, he missed portions of the next six seasons with knee, shoulder, back, ankle, and hamstring injuries. Had nothing to do with the weed. Brighton tested positive for Ritalin.
Ritalin.
Oh, yeah, my eyes are a little blurry. Ritalin, is that for like ADD and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
In his final season, earning him a four-game suspension. He never served because his NFL career was cooked.
Yeah.
But marijuana falls under the league's substance abuse policy. You know, I think if it's there, you just don't want anybody doing it. But, you know, what's his name? The guy, Ricky Williams was, you know, he used to love to get high. And again, you're a lineman. It's not like you smoke a little bit, you relax, you know, you don't make quick decisions. That might help. You wouldn't want to be saying, oh, throw the ball. Maybe I should relax and take my time.
I would still like to see statistically if that was true. Do you know what I mean? Like, did he miss tackles? You know, like, because I'm sure
I'll donate my time and test. I'll do some sort of sporting activity straight, and then try it when I'm high.
Don't make an excuse for your drug habits.
We're doing this for science. Listen, I got to donate my time and stuff.
Perfect. I'll do the same thing. We'll get a bag of cocaine. We'll see if I'm better at picking up women while high on coke.
You probably will, because you'll do it more. Like, I believe that. I believe if you're high on coke, you definitely hit on a lot more girls.
You probably do. Yeah. Plus, having the coke gets more girls anyway.
That usually helps.
Yeah, it's usually like, hey, I got some coke. Let's go.
That's right. You go, hey, you want a party?
Yeah.
Quote, the first thing I did when I woke up in the morning was get high, and I would try to stay that way all day long, the former Denver Bronco lineman Matt Lepsis said. Frank Schwab of the Lifestyle Before Finding God, quote, I look back on it, I was really foolish of me. There was definitely times when I wasn't even really there. Well, I've never been that stoned.
Oh, so now he doesn't do it because he found God? Is that what it is?
That's another guy.
Oh, that's a different guy.
It's a few different people.
Well, there's the pitcher who threw the no-hitter while tripping on acid.
Right.
Yeah, in the 1970s. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's...
Well, you know, like, when you do... there's certain things you do. Like, it's like driving stick, right? So, like, right. When I drive... like, my car stick, every car I've ever owned has been stick, except for one. When I drive stick, I'm not thinking about the clutch and the, you know what I mean? It's muscle memory. It's like I'm just doing it. Like,
let me ask you a question.
Reflexively.
Have you ever driven stick all the time and you rent a car that's not a stick?
I always like slam my, put my foot, always. I do it all the, I don't hit the brake. Usually I'm just pressing on to, you know, next to the pedal because I'm looking for the clutch.
I did that one of the times I first drove a car. I stepped on the brake and hit my fucking head on the steering wheel.
But the point being is that, you know, so like with these guys, I mean, like the guy who threw the no hitter, you know, they've done this so much, it's reflexive.
Yeah.
You know, this guy knows how to be an offensive lineman because he's been doing it since he was 10 years
like,
old.
I've told you, when I used to work in the bank, sometimes I'd have a long drive all the way from here, all the way to North Miami.
Yeah.
Like in the morning, like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and you zone out. You don't even know where the hell you are.
I open the sunroof and take a couple of hits, relax, deal with the traffic, not stress, get there, you know, put a little cologne on, you know, a little Visine. No one's the wiser. I'm happy. I'm in a good mood. Hey, Mrs. Smith. How you doing? Come on and sit down.
Oh, wait. You work with Mrs. Smith?
Yeah, you worked with her, too?
Yeah.
She gets around. Anyway, we're going to cut it short here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
What?
Yeah, we're going to go. I'm actually excited.
My last show and you're cutting it short. Well, that's cool. That's fine.
In memory of your show coming up short.
Oh, there you go. Wait a minute.
There you go. And by the way, don't forget, I'll be in Vasani's in Port Charlotte this Wednesday night, doing a spot at Carlos Mencia's show. And then on Thursday through Saturday, I'll be featuring for Frankie Paul. Don't forget this Friday night, our first ever Deuces Wild comedy show at Nectar Lounge, located in the Seminole Casino Coconut Creek, 8 o'clock and 9:45 shows. Perry Sack, Will Rock the House Lewis, and Steve Marshall. Very funny show, no cover. Come out, support us. We need more shows. If this show doesn't go well, there's no more shows. But if you guys all come, I'm going to get a bunch more shows, and we're going to do really good. We got some other things we're working on in the area, by the way, because we want to put Black Box out of business. I'm just telling you. Just kidding, you fucking prick. Any rate, so I told him not to make it personal. The guy made it personal with me, so listen. And by the way, I don't know, I guess they're announcing today the Florida's Funniest.
Oh, is that today?
I think they may be announcing it on Wednesday, you know, by today, Tuesday, when we air. It should be, so you get to find out if you're going to not be able to do that or not. That's it. Thanks again for listening, guys. I may be on ESPN Radio's the football show. I think it's the soccer football, meaning this coming this Wednesday morning. So maybe check that out. And other than that, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Wake Up at Dougie Dangerous. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and of course follow the show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. John,
just go to my website, johnlevinecomedy.com.
There you go, guys. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow in the studio, Elgin David and Pete. Leonard. Peter Leonard, who was on his show, Food for Thought, which was a lot of fun, in Cabo Flats over there in Delray Marketplace. But thanks again for listening, guys. We'll see you here tomorrow at the same spot.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, the beam of light hit the ground.